want to talk to you today on unconditional surrender. Thank God the war with Germany and Japan is over. How wonderful. I tell you, we rejoice with the whole world that peace has come once again to this war-torn world. We thank God for the boys that laid down their lives that we might have victory, for the boys that are wounded and for the mothers that have suffered so. But peace is here. We thank God for our scientists, that God has enabled them to grasp a hold of his laws and the fact that we have found and discovered ahead of our enemies the atomic bomb. For our civilians, for those who work so hard in making planes and ammunition, and our national leaders, those who have led us so splendidly. But you know, if the gospel is not kept free, if the airways are not kept free for the proclamation of the Bible message, our boys have died in vain. But yesterday I was thinking of a sign that was unbelievable. Men all through history knew that there must be more to life than eating, sleeping, and living and dying. They had a promise from the great God of all the universe that he would reveal himself to man. The prophet Isaiah gave forth God's message, and he said in Isaiah 9:6, and I quote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Notice that, the Prince of Peace. And that's what civilization always looked for, the Prince of Peace. Then years later, an angel appeared and said, "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Truly a sign that was unbelievable. Then we have a scripture that is unfailing. The Bible is here to stay. God said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." The atomic bomb in the next war may destroy civilization, but it cannot destroy the Bible. No critic, no atheist, no Tom Paine, no Voltaire can destroy it. The word of God stands true. Holy men spake of old as they were moved by the Spirit of God. God breathed through man and gave us his message. The trouble with 95% of you haven't read it. Have you? How much of the Bible have you read lately? I repeat, the scripture is unfailing. Then too, there's a son that is ungodly. Now, I don't mean your son. I know your son is perfect. Yes, I mean your son. And that includes your son and your daughter. It includes my son. It includes you. Listen to what God says. Romans 5:12, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And that includes you. That all means you. It includes me. In God's sight, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that breathes throughout this nation today is ungodly. Oh, I know you may look all right. Your neighbors may think you're all right. Your friends may think you're all right. But under that clothes, that suit of clothes, in your heart, down away in your heart, you know that your life is not perfect what it should be. You know that your life is far short of what Jesus is. And anything short of what Jesus is makes you a sinner. Because we've inherited an ungodly nature. And because we are in ourselves ungodly. Then there is a sin that is unconscious. Because you're not aware of your sin doesn't excuse you. You may park your car by a hydrant and not know it's against the law and still be guilty. I read in John 3:18, it says, "He that believeth on him," Jesus, "is not condemned." Now watch. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That includes you. Even though unconsciously you don't know it and you never heard, that includes you. This is man's greatest sin, though unconscious. Then, too, there's a sin that is unclean. Gross sin, conscious sin, immoral sin, outward sin, actual sin, unclean sin. You know what I mean. The thing that you don't like to talk about. The thing that you try to forget. But it stands before you in the night. That's uncleanness. And, oh, it has wrecked and ruined the lives of millions in our great nation today. They say that our boys, a great many of them coming back, will be seared and spotted with blemishes of sin. "As Israel of old, we cry, our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us." That's true in your case. It's true in our case that we're conscious before a holy God, we're unclean. Then there's a sin that is unworthy. I know all sin is unworthy. It makes you feel unworthy. It crushes you. It humiliates you. It depresses you. James 1:15 says, "Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." And when it is finished, when does it end? When is it finished? When does it end? Where does it end? You don't know. You never know. But when you become sin conscious, my friend, then there's a Savior that's unspeakable. By that I mean he's indescribable. My faltering lips cannot tell all the beauties of our wonderful Savior. No wonder Paul cried, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His love is indescribable, to love me, the unlovely. His sacrifice is indescribable, to give his very life willingly for you and your sin. I tell you, I have a Savior to offer you that's big enough to take care of all your sin. Besides a sign that's unbelievable, a scripture that's unfailing, a son that's ungodly, a sin that's unconscious, unclean, and unworthy, and a Savior that's unspeakable. Yesterday I saw a surrender that's unconditional. The only way we can have a semblance of lasting peace with Germany and Japan is unconditional surrender. Absolutely. The only way you, my friend, can have peace with Jesus Christ is by unconditionally surrendering to him. To say an eternal yes, an everlasting yes. To submit your will to his. To obey him. To take his word as final. To give him your sin. To give him your life. To accept him as the Lord of your life. That's what I've done. That's what hundreds of the youth before me right now have done. That's what we want you to do too. Throughout the nation. They're listening by shortwave. They're in that den of sin. They're in your home. Wherever you may happen to be at this moment. God wants you to come to the place in your life where you see you're a washout, where you see there's no good thing within you, where you see you've come far short of the glory of God, and then see in the Lord Jesus a resurrected Savior, and when you unconditionally yield to him, he'll give you victory. Oh, what a day of victory it'll be for you when you claim him, cling to him, trust him, receive him, and acknowledge him. Will you do that there now? I'm talking to you there by the radio. Will you do that there right now? And settle it and make sure of heaven? I hope you will.